Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everyone. This is Donna Wortham, and I'm here. I'm with Kingdom Empowerment, Inc., and the host of the show for today. And today we are here to discuss a topic which is very controversial in the Kingdom of God, often with Christians. And so we want to use this time for today to bring out some great insight as to how we love in the Kingdom of God, talk about genuine kingdom love. And we do welcome you to our Kingdom Empowerment Blog Talk Radio Show. Today is March 7th, Friday, where we are here to equip and empower the body of Christ and add value to your God-inspired destiny and purpose in life. And I'm here with our co-hosts of the show today, Apostle Paulius Amakodia, founder of Christ for the Africans Ministry. Welcome, Paulius. How are you today?
Thank you. I'm very fine. Thank you.
Oh, we thank God for today. You know, Apostle, would you like to open us up in prayer before we start ministering and talking about this genuine kingdom love for the body of Christ?
Yes. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we open our spirit to you this moment. We pray that your Holy Spirit will come and overshadow us, produce the love that you, God, you are expecting from us, we the Christians. We pray that the Holy Spirit will continue to build us to this love, that we may be able to defeat our flesh and able to overcome the devil. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Amen, amen. You know, before we start, I would like to read a quote from C.S. Lewis, a very strong and profound man of God who wrote the Mere Christianity book, and I just want to read one of the quotes from it. And it says, "The worldly man treats certain people kindly because he likes them. The Christian, trying to treat everyone kindly, finds him liking more and more people as he goes on, including people he could not even have imagined himself liking at the beginning." Again, that's a quote from C.S. Lewis, and he was given a distinction as how the worldly man treats certain people kindly because he liked them. But the Christian, however, is supposed to try to the best of their ability to treat everyone kindly. And so we're going to talk a little bit about today about these various types of worldly love and the true Christian agape love and what they mean to the Christian. We want to talk about it so that we can give understanding to the body of Christ what is the realness of genuine love, so that when you are going out ministering to the body of Christ or whatever you're doing in life, whether it's in work or home with your family, that you can display and actually genuinely from the heart share the true agape love. And I want to talk about first one of the worldly loves from the Greek word, and it's storge, which is affection. Now, this type of love is due to familiarity of an environment, a culture, your family, friends. It's because you're familiar with them that you love them because the person is like you, or they have similar traits like you. And this type of love can be discriminating because it's only that you want the same individuals that are like you, or someone you grew up with, a mother's affection for a child, or the father's affection for a child. It's a love that creates, it can cause controlling and manipulation, causing persons to become jealous when the one that they expect the affection from is directed to another person. So, for instance, a mother may love their child so much, but they don't want their child associated with any other connection. It could be the wife, or it could be the husband. It could be anything. They just want that child to love them more than anyone. So they will put their affection, they will put their love into that person so much that they're caught up in it that it becomes discriminative, that only they are to have that type of love. Also, you know, this type of love is something that we see often in the world today. Can you share your views on it?
Yes, because we are all image of the Supreme Being, who is God. So even if we are not born again, that image, that desire is still in you. It's still in you. So that desire, when it's not rooted in God, it becomes lust. And lust, we know the desire of lust is very bad. It can cause evil. It can cause a lot of things that is happening in this world. That is happening to this world are caused by lust or the desire of the flesh. So God, mm-hmm. in His own divine and His own knowledge, came mm-hmm. down on the earth here to demonstrate His love that we should develop to that stage. So if you are not born again, you can't develop that love to have that agape love, that divine nature is looking for it. All flesh, our final destination is to have that divine nature, which is love. Mm-hmm. And because we cannot have, we can't develop without God, we can't, have that divine nature, so we continue to have that desire, that lust in us by, we have different kinds of love that the flesh, elaborate it. So all those love, you could see there is evil in it, there is a sin in it. It can never, make perfect. It can never, defeat the devil, because the devil himself is in it. Yeah, the devil himself is in that that nature. They call it Adamic nature. Adamic nature. That love, that lust is in that nature. So with that, we being born again to develop, to have the divine nature, we will still be in sin. We still will struggle. We still will hate people. People will be hated. People will think say they are loving, but it's not love. It's lust. They are gaining something because they are loving you to gain something from you. They want to love you to gain something from you. So that mm-hmm. love is not love. It's lust. It's in Adamic nature.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, Apostle, you have the four different types of loves that are out there. And we want to try to give them an understanding. For instance, as I was saying about Storge, as our first discussion, which is that type of love that generates affection for family members and friends because they're familiar with each other, So they become a little bit prejudiced that these are the only type of people that I can be have affection for. For instance, you know, we see in the world today there's still various cultures that say, "Well, I won't associate with this culture because I'm not familiar with them. They're not like me. They don't, you know, they don't perform the same way that I do. They don't fit into my class. So I can only have affection for someone who is like me." This is the Star J type of love. Can you think of a situation in ministry or in your lifetime that you experienced this type of love where, or you know of any type of love as such where it's more discriminative? You know, what is the solution for that, this Star J type of love?
Yes, let's say, for instance, we all have different nationals. And let's say, for instance, somebody from Europe or somebody from Italy, somebody from this thing, and he started this ministry. Though he may have the anointing to demonstrate the power of God or this thing, but most of the people that will come to him are his nationality people, those who know that this man is from Italy. Even though they never hear his message, but because he's from Italy, all the Italian people will love to fellowship with that person, whether his message is from God or not, because they see themselves associate to that pastor. That the pastor is from Italy, so he is part of them, you know. So this thing is becoming worse in our development to have the divine nature that God wants us to do. So if you look at this type of love or this kind of affection, you cannot able to belong to a society that you are not part of it. So in our mentality, we have to change our mentality, not to associate ourselves because this person is from my hometown or this person is from my country. So I have to fellowship with him or because he's serving the church, so I have to go there. No, if we think of that nature, we will miss the mark. You know, we become racist. We will miss the mark, what God is trying to teach us. You know, God's love is the agape love. It doesn't look where you come from or wherever you listen. It's unconditional. So it's time for us, and the solution is it's time for us to hear his message, to hear the message he's presenting, and know that this is from God. And we know God doesn't have a country. Even it was Israel that he first chose. But when you look God's message, it's neutral. It doesn't have it doesn't respect a woman being, a woman race. So it's time for us to identify the language that the person is speaking. Whether the person is speaking directly from God or his own point of view that is giving the message.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
You know, I totally agree with you there. Without Christ, Jesus Christ, the love of Christ, all of us would just totally be, you know, probably, I would say, just destroyed by now because of the love of God, you know, we're still living and under his mercy and compassion. And he has the greatest mercy and compassion and charity that there is. So we know that only by the Holy Spirit can we truly love. And we do see this type of storge love. It really does exist even now, today, where various cultures, various environments, nations, oh, I won't deal with this these people because of this, or I don't like these people because they're not of my own family line. It's very dramatic, and from every level that you find that people just do not want to work with each other because they feel that they have to work with someone that they're familiar with. And it's really sad because in the Christendom, in the kingdom of God, we all should love one another regardless. Even there's a church, you go into various churches, and if you're not the same color, we should just be frank about it. If you're not the same race or nationality, you know, you're just not, you just don't fit into the crowd or the society. Piety or whatever it is there. And then in the kingdom of God, we don't really have societies. We don't have country clubs. We have one body, and that is the body of Jesus Christ. If we divide the body, then it cannot flow and function in harmony together. And God is a God of order and harmony and love. Genuine, unconditional love. And this type of love, storge love, another thing that stems from it is an individual will pat someone on the back or hug them, but inside they really are not genuinely loving the individual. It's a false type of love because they're discriminating still in the way that You can hug someone, and you still can be discriminating inwardly that this person stepped on your foot yesterday. So they're out of your range. They're not someone that you want to connect with, which is a false love. When we love each other in the body of Christ, we love each other genuinely. If you have fought with your brother or your sister, you have to forgive. Amen?
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Apostle, would you like to say anything else on this type of love?
This type of love is not good, and it cannot help us to overcome the devil one. Because it's not God's nature. It's a lost nature. It's something Jesus came to deal with. This type of love will not help us. And God is looking to us that we develop to have that divine nature. Divine nature, that is the last stage of human development, of human, thinking, to have that love. If you don't think that way, I don't think when rapture comes you'll be going, because that is the final stage of we all who want Jesus to rapture us are thinking, to have that kind of mind, to have that kind of thinking, that you think like Christ, you behave like Jesus Christ. And it is love that can help you, because it is a divine nature. It is the Holy Spirit that will produce that fruit in you. You cannot force yourself to love. You cannot, love without the Holy Spirit. No, you cannot. If you do that, you will break down. You will break down. It will hurt you. It will hurt you because somebody you don't know, and you begin to love him or her, and the person reacts, offend you, it will hurt you. So we don't do that. You have to develop. It's the final stage of Christian thinking. Love is the final stage. So if you don't develop to have that divine nature in you, then I'm not thinking you are getting ready for God to rapture you. God wants us to have that divine nature ready. So it is very, very important for us to think to have that divine nature.
Yes, yes, I agree. You know, this type of love also is controlling and manipulative. So, and it's selfish. It's a very strong selfishness, as I stated before. It could be, you know, you have in various cultures, the mom and the dad will have decided that their child should marry Joe because Joe is of their culture, and he's the type of person that we want our daughter to marry. So we love our daughter so much, we want the best for her. So they begin to control and manipulate the situation to their best advantage. However, Susie has found that she loved Jack. But the parents, you know, Jack loves her back. Jack loves her, and he's a Christian. He's good and he's kind. He's loving. He's very supportive of Susie. But the parents still will not accept him because he just is not aligned with their plans for their child. This type of love, as I said, is controlling and manipulative, and that is not a Christian love. That is not a true Christian love. A Christian love will allow an individual to be free, and you will have faith and believe that God will suffice over everything in your life. So when we get to a point of controlling and manipulating, it moves into the realm of being like witchcraft, because you are designing your own, you are creating your own or someone else's life, direction, their destiny, and their purpose. So we, as the body of Christ, we have an unconditional love that when that person falls or when that person is not going the direction that we want them to, we're praying them through. We're praying them through. And we don't become angry and bitter because they didn't follow the direction that we perceived that they should have followed. Even if it's right or wrong, we allow God to judge it and allow God to be the one to take control of the situation, not us. Do you have anything to say in that area, Apostle?
That thing is very uncommon, even to the Christians who are not rooted, genuine Christians in the genuine way of Christ. If they are not rooted, they will manipulate their mind. Their parents will manipulate their mind in this way, or they will be manipulated by their pastors. Because God is a gentleman, or the Holy Spirit is a gentleman. He has given us the will so that it will come through us, the willingly, not somebody suggesting for you or forcing you to do something that is not from your heart. You know, everything that we are doing has to come from our heart, because the heart is where the issues of life is. So if we are doing something and it's not from your heart, don't do it. It's not from your heart. It means you are doing it against your will. Against your will. So God's whole love has come down to show us how we should love. And the love, as I've said, is the last destination of our development. Our last destination of our development. So if you are beginning with Christ, don't love. Until you understand love, until you know where this is, because love is the final destination of our mindset. So if we are a beginner with Christ, we don't love. But even faith self, faith that is the beginning of the distance, there is love in faith. Because if you don't love somebody, you won't trust him. And so everything, there is love in it. Let's see something from Second Peter.
Amen.
Chapter 1, verse 1 to 10. There's Peter. To those who through the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ have received faith as precious as ours, grace and peace be yours in abundance, the knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of him who have called us by his own glory and goodness. Through this, he has given us his very great precious promises, so that them you may be participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith knowledge, goodness. You see, to add to your faith goodness. So first, you have to have faith. Then you add to that faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and perseverance godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness that is love. So the love is the last development that we're supposed to have. Amen.
Amen. Amen. I like that, and I like the scripture that you brought out in 2 Peter, because I think the word, if we are following the word of God, we will be able to, especially when you read it, the Bible says that the word is a lamp unto our feet. So it is setting something inside of our very inner man that once we take understanding on it, then we can truly allow the Holy Spirit to work within us and we can follow it. So it's very important to remain in the Word of God in order to experience the true love, the unconditional love, and be able to display it to everyone that is around you, to have quality Christian relationship and enjoying the benefits of the kingdom of God. Apostle, let's talk about the second type of love, the Greek word philia, which is a mental type of love. It's based on friendship also, but it's a friendship love that there's no commitment in it, or strong ties. It's like this type of love in the world allows people to cohabitate together and have children without any true affection for each other. It's just they're lusting for something and they just go after it without any intention of having a long-lasting commitment. This type of love we see very often in the world today. So someone can be friends at work for the moment, and it's all mental. So this person appears, I mean, and they can be married, and just for the moment, this friendship love goes to the next level. There's no physical attraction. There's no nothing. It's just because we're friends and we've been friends. We can be friends and that's it, and enjoy each other just for the fulfillment and move on. No intentions of long lasting. And then we have this type of love also introduces it reproduces children, and the children are left, you know, just out there because there was never any commitment, never any true relationship where there was a foundation set in the order of God or anything. This exists in the world today. What do you have to say about that, Apostle?
Yes. All this love, yeah, filial, there is no commitment. There's no covenant relationship. So it can break at any time. Because all what you are doing is to satisfy their flesh. Is their flesh. It's not from a commandment. It's not something God has, I mean, instituted it. They are trying to be good to each other. But how can they be good to each other for so long? There's no commitment. There's no foundation. So anyone can break at any time. And so somebody can offend somebody without even apologizing the other because there's no commitment, as you have said earlier on. It's just to, I mean, share their affection. You see, human being, God created us as his own image, even the time we are not yet born again. So that desire to be accepted for from somebody is in us. To have that pressure is still in us. So every human being desire to be loved, desiring, but the proper way to have that thing is not conducted. The proper way is first to know God, who institute that relationship that we call it marriage. You have to know him first, because if you are going for marriage, it means you are going for a divine nature, because you and your wife become for better for worse, as we Christians we say it, for better for worse. So nothing can separate us. Nothing can separate both of you. So if somebody is living such way like this, there's no commitment. There's nothing that will draw him. He will draw his strength from God, because God is not in it. Something God is not in it, we cannot draw his power. We cannot draw his spirit to develop you. Because marriage needs to develop. Nobody is perfect in marriage. Nobody is perfect in marriage. But when you continue in marriage and you depend on God, you depend on the strength of God, it will develop you. And you and your wife will become like each other. You will see him like yourself. You will feel like, hey, ask you this thing. All is because you are drawing your strength. You are telling God, God, I cannot do this thing unless you help me. So God's spirit will back you up. But if you don't marry in a Christian way, by going to the altar and to make that covenant, that God is instituted, welding you together, bringing you together, then anything can happen. The devil can come there to manipulate both of you. He can separate you. He can let you break at any time. So the best thing is to lay the foundation, to have that foundation so that you draw your strength from God. Amen.
Amen. You know, in regards to this type of love, I want to read something that in the Bible where in Mark, I'm reading from Mark 12, 29 through 31 in the King James Version. And it says, the first of all commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. Now, he said, thou shalt, you know, a lot of times you hear when verse 31 is stated, they will just purely just say, thou shalt love thy neighbor. But it says, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. So the same thing that you would have done for yourself, you would have done it for the other. And in this type of filial love, someone can walk right out of the door every day and have a neighbor next door to them and never get to know them, never have a commitment, never have any strong ties. Maybe when the person died, that's when they will know that this person is no longer living in this house. Or even in the house of God, people will go in and out the door, but there's no relationship. And I think in some ways it has something to do with the information age that we're in. Everybody is socializing from technology but never really spending time socializing with each other one-on-one. So it's like everything has become me, myself, and I in time. And there's no true relationship built with a commitment and strong ties like we would have seen with David and Jonathan of the Bible. What are your thoughts on that, Apostle?
Oh, yes. You see, God himself in Genesis make us known that we have one father. In Genesis, it says, let us create a man on our own image. He said it in a plural form for you to understand that you are not alone. You don't have to think yourself alone. You have to think for people that are surrounding you. So if you think me. It may you are still in the flesh and you are not going anywhere. So God, in his own wisdom, as he created you, say, let us create man on our own image. So God, this shows that God himself, he involved a certain personality. He called his son, his Holy Spirit, and plan things together. So life is not you alone. Life is not me or me and my family or me and my wife or this thing. You have to think blood. You have to think people who are around you. You have to think also so that it become universal. You become universal. You will put under the action of God, and God will help you. But without you being born again, you cannot think that way, because if you are not being born again, you will always be thinking in the flesh, because we draw our strength from the Spirit. Without the Spirit, we have no strength to have God's knowledge. So it's very, very important to be born again so that we can draw our strength from the spirit. If you are not born again, forget about loving somebody. Forget about even loving yourself, because the flesh alone will dry off. That will produce anger, bitterness, also depression, and all sorts of things come from the flesh. But if you are dwelling in the spirit will always flow with you and produce a godly something that God himself, or the situation that you are going through. Amen.
Amen, amen. We can never go wrong with the Word of God. But, you know, when we look at Jonathan and David, they had Jonathan had such a love for David that he was willing to deny what was wrong and do what was right. Oftentimes we find that individuals will follow after what is wrong when they have a friendship or friend relationship with just friends. They may have grown up all their life together, but there comes a stage in the time of the relationship where they say, well, we have to part now because this group that I belong with, you know, I can't be friends with you any longer, or whether it's right or wrong. Some people belong to gangs. Some people belong to fraternal orders. So they feel like they have to estrange themselves away from longtime friends. So that tells us, too, that there never was a commitment or any strong ties. Because when we look at Jonathan and David, Jonathan wanted to do what was right. He wanted to remain in connection with David. He saw something. He saw God in David. He saw that David had a God based on all of the things that he had experienced with David. So he he didn't really go against his father, but he helped David to get away from the danger that he would have been in with King Saul, so that David would live, because he knew that David had purpose with God and destiny with God. But you have people that say that, oh, this is my friend, this is my friend. Oh, they're the best friend I ever had. But when they are pressed down because of various reasons, it's like, oh, that's not my friend, you know. That's
yeah.
Not the person. That's even though that we are of the body of Christ, we see those things exist in this time, and it shouldn't be that way. Or when they walk into a scene with this friend with them, it's like all of a sudden they shift because they feel pressure in the other association that they have with them. Do you have anything to say about that, Apostle?
Yes. As you were talking about Jonathan and David, you see, Jonathan is the son of Saul. And if you think freshly, he should have supported his father. But his action and his attitude was a true friend. He knew David hasn't done anything wrong for the father to hate him. So his friendship with David to be an example to all Christians. Because like me, when I was a youth, we were living in a compound. In a compound, we have different type of families. My family, who were my mother, my brothers and sisters, and another side of the house, also another family we're living. And sometimes my mother will fight with those people. They will have, when you, small thing, they will be quarreling, you know. So when I see something, I stood as a neutral, trying to bring justice to bring peace to the people. But my mother looked at me and see why I don't back her and always trying to, I mean, be in the neutral, you know. But my elderly brother will always will follow my mother. He will fight for my everything. Will fight for backing my mother, you know. But as during that time, I wasn't born again. But the Spirit of God indicates to me that no, I have to be neutral and settle the matter. If my mother at fault, I will tell my mother, you are at fault. If the people were at fault, I will tell them so that we all live amicably. But my brother wasn't like that. When he hear them fighting, he will just stood and try to, back out my mother. So when you look at the Jonathan case, is something, it was the Holy Spirit that generate that kind of love for him and David. And it is written for our correction and to prove it. So if we can have lesson from it, it will help us. Amen.
Amen, amen. And it kind of, I believe that it also falls into the scripture where it says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind and with all thy strength. So by all means, when we love, we must consider our relationship with God, because it's all about God. Because we can see that with Rahab. Rahab knew that the Israelites had a connection with God. So her first instinct was to help the children of God so that her relationship with God would be sustained. And it was by faith that she acted. So in all things, whatever we're doing, when we love, we should consider the first commandment, which is love the Lord thy God first. And I believe Jonathan loved the Lord. So he knew that this was a child of the Lord. He knew that this person had purpose and destiny for the Lord God Almighty. So he wanted truth and he wanted what was right to prevail. Amen. And thank you for sharing the testimony.
Amen.
Also, Apostle Paul has said that definitely will help to define what the true love of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is. Then we have this platonic type of love. It's one that is defined by Plato, the philosopher. This type of love is where you have a relationship between two persons, and there is no sexual desire, sexual desire is non-existent, I might say, or is suppressed because of moral standards, wanting to fit into laws and guidelines, or precepts and laws of man, or the Holy Bible. So it could be good and it could be bad. It can be that you're doing it because you want to remain steadfast, immovable, abiding in the will of God. So you look at this type of love, it all depends on if you're a Christian and you are following the power of under the power of the Holy Spirit, then you want to use it correctly. But if you're not, and you're just following moral standards and precepts and laws, guidelines of the society, or the environment that you're in or your culture. You know, some people that belong into certain cultures, you know, because of the tradition, they will not they will love someone and without a non-existent desire for sexual intent. But we as Christians, we love in this that manner because we want to be under, we love our God. We love God, and we want to do what God wants us to do, not the way that we want to do it, but not the way that the world is doing it. But we want to practice unconditional love that satisfies God. So it's good to have a closer relationship between two persons without sexual desire or intent, and be following the will of God. But when you're doing it based on moral standards, in most cases you will fall. If you're using guidelines and principles and concepts from outside of the Holy Bible, in most cases, eventually you will fall because the power of the Holy Spirit is not present with you to sustain you. Apostle Paul, is your thoughts on it, please?
Yes, as I've told you, all this human philosophy, and human philosophy cannot defeat a devil. You know, our knowledge is to defeat the devil one, and to root him entirely from our culture. But because of woman's philosophy, that is not drawn from God, cannot able to help us. Those, it will, can help us in some other areas, but when things are going on or things are getting this thing, it will hurt us. It will destroy us. So all those things are woman's philosophy, and they can never, I mean, defeat the devil one. So those who want to practice those things, I'll urge you that it will never lead you to anywhere, but it will let you know that without God, we cannot do nothing. Without Jesus Christ, without the Spirit of God, we cannot do anything. Because the devil himself is very strong in the flesh. He's very, very strong in the flesh. By any reason, you say, oh, we can develop this type of love. We can never do that. The only way you can able to defeat the devil is to have Christ knowledge, for the Holy Spirit to develop you, to have that thinking, that divine nature. Love is a nature of God. It's a nature of God, the spiritual nature of God in the flesh. So if we don't have that spiritual nature of the flesh, then the devil cannot tell me. We cannot face the devil, because God wants us to defeat the devil. So he has provided us all everything we needed to defeat the devil. He has provided us according to the nature of Christ. He has brought us, has given us the knowledge that we can defeat him if we can draw our strength from him. Amen.
Amen. Amen. It's absolutely true. Everything that we do without the Holy Spirit is all in vain. As Jesus said, he would leave a comforter behind, our paracletos, our direction, our guide, to keep us from harm and to help us to be able to be sustained in the kingdom of God. So it is true, all of these loves are selfish and a self-gratification. There is no benefit to these type of loves for the Christian, for the child of God. We do have one more worldly love to look at, and that is the Eros love. And all of these loves are in the Bible. One of these times maybe we will have a study on them, but at this time we're just giving an overview of the ones that are out there. And Eros, which is a Greek word as well, for romance. It's a physical, passionate type of love. This type of love does have physical sexuality and lustful love in it. So it's like someone will paint a picture of what they desire, and at the moment of passion, that's when it will be displayed. There is no, again, no commitment under this one. There's no strong ties attached to it. It's equivalent to, it's just being satisfied for the moment. I see someone across the way from me that I'm attracted to them and physically, so I just want to experience the physical passion with them. There is no love, true love connection in it. You just want to have satisfaction for the moment. And when it's not equivalent to the romance picture that is painted, in most cases, this type of love becomes chaotic. It becomes like a human destruction, because when it's not like what the person want, they immediately shift to find another physical attraction to satisfy their needs again. And it's without reasoning. It's not being thought out. For instance, it goes back to having that foundation again. And it's all physical. So when you have a relationship that is all physical, you will never really understand that person. You will lack communication with that person. Every time you see the person, it will just be that a physical passion will exist, but there will be no true love for the person. So this is not the type of love that the children of God need in this hour, because it destroys lives, it destroys families. It's not something that we want to have as a child of God. And usually a relationship like this can continue for a long time. It can continue and no one will ever recognize it until they become aware of the individual's traits or the fruits. They start looking at time. I've been with this person this amount of time, and they, I find now that they're not what I really like, but, you know, physically anymore. They have grown older. Their size have changed. Then the relationship is no more wanted. It's all physical, passionate love, but no true commitment or desire for long-lasting marriage. Apostle, your thoughts on that?
Oh, this type of love is more dangerous, because people nowadays are using money to attract love. And when money is not coming, that desire, that love that you were expecting from your, from that, your partner or that person, you first of all develop that love. It's not there. So it will let you become jealous, and it will become, it will make you become hatred. These are some of the areas that is destroying a lot of young people who want love and they are not getting it because their partner is looking somewhere, or, you know, it kills, you know. People have been dying, shooting, and all sorts of things because of this type of love. Because human nature, our heart, God knows our heart. There's something in our heart that we need to fulfill. And if we cannot fulfill that heart, that something in our heart, then we will put money or woman inside. And that woman is not that thing that will satisfy us. So we look for more. And that thing is destroying the woman race. In everywhere, in America, in Africa, people are dying because of this type of love. And if somebody wants real love, then I will urge you to look for Jesus Christ. He will give you the real love. And when you have that love can sustain you forever and forever. But the love that people are looking around, sex and all those love, my sister, it doesn't last. And it's destroying people. And it's destroying our nature, lust. So this thing has to deal with. But when we have that Christ love in us, and it developing us, you will not have that kind of, even when you see your wife with one a certain man or this thing, it will not, give you angry to go and shoot that man. It will not, instruct you to do this thing because God has developed you. You don't have that kind of mindset in you. You know to have that jealousy or hatred of that part of the person you want to kill or you want to eliminate him or her. So Christ likeness is what God is wanted. Every Christian should be to develop to have Christ likeness, so that we will have peace in everything we are doing. Everything we are doing. You know, for me, God, I develop faith is my this thing. Everything I do, if I don't see faith, I will not do it. And it has helped me a lot. For an example, before I decided to come to this country, God has warned me that I should be very, very careful of a woman. So if I see a woman, even though she will attract me, I will never, call her or, ask her for love because I've seen her. So I develop my mind that the woman that I will choose, I will want God not to let me see her. I will not let me see her beauty before I will love that person. So this happened to me when somebody in Ghana decided to date me. I've never seen her and never this thing. This lady was from devil. But because I've never seen her, he was able to win my heart because it was fate that, I started to date her. But not knowing that she was a fake, and God helped me to develop a knowledge. You say, you know, the Bible says you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. As soon as I got to know the truth, it was able to set me free. Because the Bible says, a man who finds a wife has found a good thing. Not a woman has to find a man. It's a man who has to find a woman. So if you're a man and a woman find you, it's not biblical. It's not biblical. When this lady, is this lady who find me? How did you find this lady? So when I came to realize that it was a mistake, then I have to cut her off. Without me, I haven't sexual this thing with her. But it developed for so long, for almost 4 years. I developed, relationship with this person. But as soon as I discovered that it was not the breaker and it was a seducive spirit that he used for me, I break off. The Bible says you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. And God in his own divine way showed me a woman that I did not see her. But through his direction, I was able to locate her. And now the lady is my wife. The lady is my wife, and we love each other as if we have seen ourselves for so long. So, it's first of all, we have to know God in everything that we are doing. We have to know God, and his spirit will show, because this world is full of lies that we are living. So we have to be very, very careful. Amen.
Amen, amen. Very careful. And I think you having the word of God with you also equipped you and empowered you to overcome the whims of the enemy. Well, the word of God equipped you and the Holy Spirit empowered you to overcome the whims of the enemy. In this type of physical passionate love, we also see that, man with man and woman with woman, it's all physical. There's no true, it's impossible that a commitment can be made, because you often see that 1 month one individual is with someone, then they go to the next person, then they go to the next person. Never any true commitment, and it's all physical. But the Bible also tells us that even if you just so look at a person, it's a sin. So when you look at someone and it becomes becomes sexual, it's a physical attraction in it, that is not the love of God. That is not a true love, especially when you're saying love at first sight. You know, love is something that, as far as between in a relationship, it will take time to develop. It will have to be nurtured. It will have to be fed. It's not something that comes overnight. So when you hear love at first sight, or that you feel that you are in a position where it's love at first sight, and you don't know the individual, you don't understand the individual, you don't take time with the individual, then it's not love. Because if you don't, it's only that you're looking from your own eyes. You're not looking from the eyes of both of you. It takes two to be in love. It takes two to have a true relationship with the foundation of unconditional love in Jesus Christ. And I want to now focus on the true unconditional love of Jesus Christ. And I want to read from 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And I really feel that it's important to get the full context of what Paul is writing here to the Corinthians. And I'm starting from verse 1. He says, though I speak with tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, and have no charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profits me nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself. It is not puffed up, does not have itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoice not in iniquity, but rejoice in truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. But we know in part, and we prophesy in part, when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know, even also I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, charity. These three, but the greatest of these is charity. Now, that word charity in this scripture is agape, the Christian agape love, the unconditional love that abideth forever and is permanent, with the power of the Holy Spirit. Apostle, what would you like to say in reference to that agape love?
Yes, when we talk about agape love, there is three elements that compose this love. One, self. Two, suffering. And the third is sacrifice. If you remove these three elements from that love, then it is not love again. It becomes lust. Because Jesus Christ, to demonstrate that love for us, and that love was able to defeat the devil, death. It's only this love that can defeat the grave. So when somebody says he loves you, it means he's ready to serve you. And we saw this service on the life of Jesus Christ. When he was with his disciples, he was serving them. You can see it in the Last Supper when he assembled them. He washed their legs for them. That is service. So if you love somebody, you have to serve the person. But now we people, we make as if love is 50-50. You do this thing before I will do this thing. 50-50. No, it's 100%. If you are doing your own and your partner is not doing, don't draw his attention. Just do whatever you are commanded to do, because you are doing it for God, not your partner. You are showing love to your partner, and that partner, because of that love, will also reciprocate what you are doing, and also think that I have to change. So love is to serve. And another one is suffering. You know, suffering people is very, very difficult when suffering comes, before you can test for love. When somebody say love you, when suffer comes, is he going to stay with you? It's those who do not love genuinely, unconditionally, will leave you, will abandon you. And that will hurt you. So when suffering comes, before you know that this person loves me, that person will stick to you. It will comfort you, oh, husband, oh, wife, it will be all right. God is going to take care of. God is going to, have it. All these things, when you look at the life of Job, you can see how Job suffered for his faithfulness towards God. His wife told Job, curse God and die. And Job, what was the Job reply? He the one gives and he takes, so glory be to his holy name. So all these things that we are saying is in the Bible. And Jesus Christ experienced all these things, demonstrated all these things so that we can understand what love really means. Peter asked Jesus Christ, when somebody offend me, how many times should I forgive him? Jesus said 70 times 7. It means if it is something that you cannot stop. Forgiveness is the signed evidence of true love. If somebody hurts you and you don't forgive him or her, then you're still harboring that the thing he did to you. Not love. It is not love. It's you to forgive that person, because the person, what he did to you, you don't know what he did. So you need to forgive. All this thing is written in the Bible for us to understand that we could develop our thinking. And another area of the element is sacrifice. Sacrifice is very, very important in our serving God, our worship. So all these three things that I mentioned will come for our testing to know whether we love God or not, we don't love God. I remember when I was in Italy, and God has made known to me that he will bring me to United States. And I've tried all my means to get a visa in Italy, but I could not get. But it came, the school that I wanted to come wrote me that I should go to Ghana and do 1 year course there. I have to ask God whether it is this thing. In fact, it took me 6 good months before I decided to go to Ghana, because in Italy, I was with my family, my wife, my children. Why should I go back to Ghana? God wants to see whether I will obey, I trust him or not, because he has promised me that he will bring me to United States. But I applied a visa in Italy. I couldn't get. And it came to a point that I should go to Ghana and do 1 year Bible training. There I will get a visa. It took me 6 good months for me to leave my family there, because I told my wife, let us go back to Africa. I said, she's not going. She's not going. And he told me not to go. And God has told me, and when you read the Bible, should I hearken to my wife as Adam did? It was a challenge to me. So it took me 6 good months before I decided to go. And I told my family, if you are not going, I'm not going. I won't force you, because God has given us a free will. I'm not forcing you, but I'm going. And my wife told me, if you go, you are not going to be my husband anymore. If you go, it means you are going to marry your God, you know. I thought it was a joke. And it was really true, because the reason that I love my people, I love the Africans, I love to, accomplish something that will help them. And so that love, as this Moses also, when he recognized that he belongs to Israelites. He decided not to be a king of Egypt for a while, not to enjoy life for a moment. So I conditioned myself to be Moses and say, oh, no. I saw Moses by faith. He left Egypt. So by faith, I also will leave Italy. But I didn't force my family to go with me. My family decided to stay there. And they stayed there. I went to Africa for 1 year. And God, faithful, gave me the visa after 1 year school. I came to show my family about how God has, faithfully blessed me with that visa. You see? So our love for God will always be something we have to sacrifice. And we have to put him first, not our family, not our wife, not our children, but we have to put God first. I remember when God told Abraham to sacrifice his son, God didn't want Isaac to be sacrificed, but he just wanted to know whether Abraham will trust him or he will sacrifice that his son. Abraham did not argue with God. He decided to take Isaac to sacrifice for God. We all know the story. So if we're developing love for God, we have to include service. We have to include suffering. We have to include sacrifice. If these three things are together, I don't think we can fail God. I don't think we will definitely pass any test the devil put on us, because it's these three things that make love very strong. Very, very, very strong. Amen.
Amen.
I don't know whether you have something to ask me again. Yeah.
Well, you know, I like to stay focused on this agape love, and this will give the body of Christ some understanding as how to remain in this agape love, because I believe that it's very important for us to love God with all of our might, with all of our strength, with our soul, with our heart, with our inner man spirit. And the only way that we can do that, the Bible says that we should be crucified with Christ, which means that we have to die to self, our bodily senses, our smell, our taste, our sight, our hearing, our feeling. Those are the area that the enemy play with us so much with. If we're not founded and rooted with the Holy, or walking with the Holy Spirit and being led by the Holy Spirit, as the Bible tells us, we allow our bodily senses to take control. And our bodily senses, as Paul so rightly stated, he said, your body, soul, and spirit. Your body, soul, and spirit. So that means your own inner man spirit, your soul, and your body, or things that you have to become self-aware of to avoid the beguiling, the deception, falling off into the guidance of the enemy, which would be, of course, the devil. So any enemy that is an enemy of God is your enemy. And you have to also be able to discern what is good and evil. I believe in order to be able to do that, you have to have the Holy Spirit with you. Now, that means you must go into a broken state where you allow the Holy Spirit to break off your bodily senses, which is your flesh. Help to deal with your soulish realm, which is your emotions and desires, and your conceptual thinking, your conceptual worship and your conceptual fellowship with God. It must all be attuned and aligned to the will of God in order for you to sustain the unconditional love that Jesus Christ would have us to display here on earth to increase the kingdom of God. Now, when I say walking with the Spirit, the Holy Bible tells us in Romans chapter 8 is where I'm reading from. I'm going to start with verse 2. He says, "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sent in his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, who walk not after our bodily senses, but after the Spirit of God." You see, when your bodily senses are activated, when you hear some, I've said this before in the past, but when you hear a beat, you know, a drum beat, it can produce a good feeling, a good godly feeling, especially if it's praise and worship before God, because the Bible said David danced until his clothes fell off. So he was so excited and praising the Lord that he forgot of himself and began dancing to the point where his clothes began to fall off. Now, it could also go into the worldly realm. A person may hear a beat that sounds good, and it feels good. It begins to feel good to them, and you can get caught up in dancing in the worldly way as well. But so we have to understand our senses, our bodily senses, so that we don't get caught up in realms that are not of God. By attuning ourselves to the kingdom of God through God's word and allowing the Holy Spirit to work within us, the Bible says, "Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." The Bible also tells us in the book of Galatians, going to Galatians chapter 5, where it tells us in the Bible that those that are led by the Spirit of God, so we walk in the Spirit, and we must be led by the Spirit as well. And I'm trying to get to the scripture here. I want to read just the one point so that I can get my point across to you about being led by the Spirit. It says, 16, verse 5, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." Now, some interpretations will say, be led by the Spirit, that you will not be fulfill the lust of the flesh. So it's very important that we allow the Holy Spirit to work in us, that we will not allow our flesh to prevail, our bodily senses to prevail in us, that we will be caught up by the whims of the enemy. In verse 18 it says, "But if ye be led by the Spirit, ye are not under the law." And then it goes to tell us what the works of the flesh are, what manifests from our bodily senses. It says adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variances, emulation, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envying, murders, drunkenness, reveling, and such like of which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Well, we as children of God want to remain in the kingdom of God. We want to have the Spirit produce our in our bodily senses love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. It says, against such there is no law, and they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and the lust, those worldly loves. We're letting them go, and we're removing them to allow the Spirit of God to be working in us and with us. It says walking with the Spirit and being led by the Spirit, so we can be the children of God and remaining in the kingdom of the living God. Apostle, what would you like to say about that?
Yes. In fact, because we're all born in the flesh. Flesh is part and parcel of us. Somebody may say, if my father and my mother married or being blessed and before I was born, it means I'm already born again. No. When you read Psalm 91, verse 5, Moses saw this thing. Say, in sin, my mother conceived me. So when you talk about sinful nature, the act of sex, even though you are married, the act of sex is a sin. The act of sex is sin. It's in the Bible. So the producing of children is already sin because of Adam's nature. You know, Jesus Christ made it clear to us that even when you look at a woman, lustfully, so this woman is very nice. You have already committed adultery in your heart. But the Pharisees will say, oh, when they see a woman having that thing, oh, they brought him to Jesus to be stoned. But they don't know that the act have already started in their mind, in their heart. So Jesus has to make it to know that when you look at a woman or a man in lustfully, they have already committed adultery in your heart. And it's a sin that we have to deal with. So this is something, it's difficult for us to take it out if we don't allow the Holy Spirit to develop that kind of thinking in our mind. Everybody will be seen every, how many times you see a woman, you lost after her because it's the flesh, it is in us. Nobody teaches a kid how to have sex. Nobody, it's not something you have to teach. It's already in us. So, it's good, Spirit of God, that will give us the knowledge, that will guide us, all this, that we can develop that kind of thinking, that this thing will come out from us, that last nature, that Adamic nature will come out from us. So, first of all, we have to recognize that being born, we are sinful men. Then we recognize and admit that as a sinful man, we cannot develop on that nature. So we invite Jesus Christ to come and help us by submitting ourselves to his lordship, submitting ourselves to his leadership. Then he will give us the Holy Ghost, because it's a ghost that will come and help us. Every human being Every lady, if you never see a woman and you are a virgin, it means the Holy Spirit is upon you. But you know the God Spirit is upon you. As soon as you break your virginity, the Spirit depart from you until you come back again and tell Jesus Christ that you have offended or you have done something wrong. Every woman, because God prophesies that the woman, the seed of the woman, will bruise the seed of the serpent. So it's a guarantee that every woman being, every lady who is living, who has never break his virginity, is having the Holy Spirit upon her until he breaks that virginity. We need to teach this teaching in our churches. When you look at the church now, the church is not there. We have break out from Jesus, because this the church, Jesus Christ is coming to marry the church. How did God find Mary? He found him in a virgin way that he was able to overshadow her. So the church had to live a life pure, so that the Holy Spirit will continue to come upon us, to develop us. The church had to look at Virgin Mary, how a Virgin Mary led his life. The church had to recognize this Mary as he is the mother of Jesus Christ. So God also, Jesus Christ is looking at the church, that the church will be an example of Mary. The church is supposed to be an example of Mary. If the church can able to educate all human beings to live a pure life like Mary, then now there will be a power in the church, because we have to die to the flesh. And after we die to the flesh, the Holy Spirit will come upon us. Jesus Christ will give us the power to live a pure and holy life, that he will come upon us. When a Virgin Mary was a virgin, God didn't force Mary. He just, sent the holy angels to go and tell Mary that he has been blessed, that he's going to use her. And Mary accepted. Oh, I'm your servant. Let it be according to the way. So God is looking at the church now, so that we become virgin. Not in virgin physically, but virgin in spirituality. That the knowledge that he will impart to us will be fruitful. So the church need to be not to accept any doctrine, not to accept any doctrine at all. We should be pure, pure in the spirit, like Virgin Mary, not in the physical, but in the spiritual. We should be having the virginity knowledge, that there will be no word or anything that will come and defile us. We should remain pure in the spirit, that God can use us. Without it, generation will come, generation, and we'll be expecting Jesus Christ to come, and Jesus Christ will continue to delay him. Because if the church could do not produce Christ-like, Jesus' coming will be delayed. So now it's for us to teach the church to be pure in their senses, pure in the spirit, that we can produce Christ-like, and Jesus Christ will soon come.
Amen, amen. And I like what you were saying about Mary, because it's not a physical thing that we remain in the kingdom of God. It definitely has to be a spiritual connection with God, because it is the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Ghost, that he has left for us. And You know, Mary, one of the things that she said when she was rejoicing before the Lord, she said, "You have regarded your maidservants," or some Bible says your bond servants' humble estate. You have regarded it. And so because she, it wasn't certainly because she was a virgin only, because there were many virgins that would have been in the kingdom, but her relationship, her bond servant relationship with God is what made her an agent that God could use, a vessel that God could use in the kingdom of God. And it's very important, as you said, that the whole body of Christ begin to align themselves, and it's a quickening, a rush order that we begin to align ourselves with the will of God and become bond servants, become slaves for his kingdom. We have slaved for this world for too long now. So it's time for us to slave for the kingdom of God, that we may be able to dwell fully in the kingdom of God, and God come down and visit us in Jesus' name. Now, we're getting close to the 15-minute mark. We do have some callers on the line with us now, and I want to open up the phone call to allow you to ask any questions or share any comments. And I asked if you could please keep the comments or anything that you would like to share at a minimum so that we can complete the show appropriately. So I'm asking at least if you can take 5 minutes when you speak. Is there anyone on the call that would like to share a message or ask any questions at this time?
Amen. I would just like to say God bless you all for the beautiful session today on love and breaking down those areas for me. And I want to make sure when we were talking about, when the apostle was talking about the agape love, the three elements there was self, suffering, and sacrifice. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
I'd like to say something.
Okay, great.
I know that until a person comes to that place in the agape love, you don't live a fulfilled life, and you don't really know, understand what love is. Because in that place, there's no conflict, and there's, with a natural love, it varies, you know. It depends on emotions, you know. Well, if you didn't buy me a car, or you didn't do that. But in that agape love, it's just God's love. And there's no change, and it's consistent. It remains the same.
Amen.
And then when you go, you know, it says it doesn't. It's not arrogant. It's not puffed up. It doesn't insist on its own way. It's no longer you. You know, it's an unselfish love, and your first motive is always. It's not well. Even though you may be right, that's not the issue. How do you act? You act according to other people, their will. Not their will, but I'm saying an act of love considering others. What do
Amen.
I act in? Do I act out? Do I act because I have the right? Because I'm right? Or do I act in love?
Well, I believe that in looking at Jonathan and David's situation, he acted in the will of the Father. So I believe if we're acting in the will and the word and the ways of God that we have taken understanding on, we will be acting accordingly. And I also believe it's not our right. But it's
Amen.
The right of God. And sometimes love acting right in the eyes of God, it can sting, because I can imagine that, for instance, Saul, if he had found out what Jonathan did, it would have hurt him greatly. But nevertheless, John fulfilled the will of God. I mean, Jonathan fulfilled the will of God, because that love of God is to prevail first. So sometimes love can be tough. Sometimes love can be painful, but as long as you are practicing the will of God, I think that everything will be proper in its time and its season when the person takes understanding on it. And I believe God will allow them to take understanding. But it's a choice of rebelling against the understanding or and moving on with it, because it's all a mutual thing in the kingdom of God. So, for instance, if Apostle Paulius saw me going down the wrong lane, and I felt like, well, it's the right lane, but he's telling me, and he's telling me by the word of God, then it's up to me to take understanding on it and become aligned with it or rebel against it. Because as we can see with Peter, when Ananias and Sapphira came, Peter didn't have any intention of making them drop and die, but the spirit that was in him was placing judgment, because he didn't say one word according to the word of God. But so the thing is that we can't look at each other from as the body of Christ from a physical standpoint, because we wrestle not with flesh and blood, but we look at each other from a spiritual standpoint. Amen?
Right.
Amen.
Right. That's when you say that agape love, it's not based on our perception or what we think is right. It's based on what God says.
Yes.
Even without the understanding, total obedience, when the Spirit moves you, you have to accept that kind of love only comes from heaven. That God can tell you to do something that's so against your own natural mind, and you have to do it.
Amen. Because when Jesus went on the cross, it was love. It was love. So, at times, as I said, love can be painful, but because of our love of God, we endure. We suffer.
Amen.
We wait patiently. We hold on until, you know, Paul said he was trying to reach the unattainable level, and we're striving to get there consistently. And the main point about it is that if we have gotten off course, the whole thing about it is getting back on course, realigning ourselves with the will of God, crying out to the Father and saying, God, I'm wrong. I messed up. I've been doing all of these false loves. I've been following out there all of these things that are not really of you. What can I do to come back? How do I get back into you? The Bible tells us he is faithful and just to forgive us for all things. So I believe that it's very important is if we love God with all of our heart, our mind, our soul, our strength, then we, you know, it's just like your own mother or your father. You go to them and they say, Sister Justina, you have done wrong. And you feel it. You know that you have done wrong. What do? You plead with mama and you plead with daddy and say, please, forgive me. Please forgive me. God is a forgiving God. He's merciful. So, you know, it's a matter of accepting. You also have to accept your wrong, because it's the same thing with God. God will be showing you things. If he loves us that much, that he will show us,
hey,
look, you're wrong. You're going the wrong direction. And God is right. So who am I to dispute him? His word is right. How can I dispute it? It's forever settled in heaven. So, because of that, it is me. I have to change my ways, you know. And sometimes he will sting you. He will sting you. You know, a lot of people want everything to be the worldly love. But I think if my mother and my father love me, they will condition me. They will shape me. They will put me into the right character. They will train me up in the way that God wants me to go. And then by that, I will know that they love me. When they're not there, I know that they loved me because they wanted to see me in the right way. So it's not always going to be comfortable. That love is not always comfortable. Sometimes you have to be strong when you are loving someone, lest the enemy will fool you, you see. So we thank God that God give us grace and that he have given us the Holy Spirit to guide us and help us along the way. And we thank you that he also speak through man and woman. He speak through us to guide the body of Jesus Christ. Apostle Paulius, can I ask that you share your final words to the body of Christ for someone out there that have been following those the false four type of worldly loves that we discussed today? What would you say to them now? We're at the 7-minute mark.
To the brother, when we talk about love, first, you have to first love God, and the second, to your fellow human being. Let's say, for instance, when Esther, when Haman wanted to destroy the whole Israel, Esther was free to say, he was a queen, and the law, did not, put her into the situation. But he found himself, her uncle let him find himself. He's also an Israelite. So it's time for her to do something. And it was during the time, the law. We see when God is doing something, there must be a law that will prohibit you not to, act. But because he loves his people, he say, this is the time the law is prohibiting me not to go and see the key. But I'll go and see the key. But before I go and see the key, let us fast. You fast, and also I will fast. Then I will go and see the key. Even if I go and see the key and I perish, let me perish. He didn't care about his life. You know, he didn't care about his life. But he cared about the people, that I'm going to see the key. Because if I don't go and see the key, something is going to happen among my people. But the law says I shouldn't go, but I'm going to see the key. Even if I perish, let me perish. So when you are loving, it has to deal with your personal life. You don't care about your flesh anymore. You don't care about you yourself anymore, but you care about the people. So everything you are doing, when it come to love, you have to think about your fellow people first. First of all, God, and second to your people, before you think about your own self. Jesus said, those who love their life will lose it, and those who lose their life will have it until eternity. It is a law, a universal law, but people don't know. So if we can develop unconditional love, then we can able to produce Christ-like people. Then we are ready for Russia, because Jesus has overcome death. It's for us, we the followers, also to overcome it. But people say, we die before we go to heaven. It is a lie. It's a devil. Deception, that we have to die before you go to heaven. He has overcome death and has given us a key and has given us everything that pertain to that divine nature. That divine nature is for we to have agape thinking, agape love, for it to develop. And love will never come like that. We
Amen.
Have to develop it. We have to
Amen.
Develop it. Amen.
Amen. Perfect ending. And I just want to remind everybody out there in the audience that if you have been following that, those false loves, those worldly loves that is not the genuine kingdom love, I invite you to spend some time with God and just lay out with him and ask him to forgive you and then move forward. Bounce back into the right line that God will want you to be in where you can experience the kingdom of God. And Apostle Paulus, I want to thank you for being on the show with us today. You have been listening to Blog Talk Radio Show, Kingdom Empowerment, Inc., where we are here to build up the body of Christ by equipping and empowerment. And we also are here to add value to your God-inspired destiny and purpose. This is Donna Wortham, the co-host. You have been listening to the co-host. The co-host you have been listening to is Apostle Paulus Amakodia, founder of Christ for the Africans Ministry. And I would like to repeat some of the scriptures that we went over so that you can take them home and study them. We went into Mark chapter 12, 29-31. We also talked about 1 Corinthians. Chapter 12. And we also, the four types of love that we discussed that are worldly loves is storge, philia, platonic, eros. Those are the Greek words for the love, worldly loves that we discussed today. The Christian love, the body of Christ love for the kingdom of God is our agape love, the unconditional love that Jesus Christ displayed for us on the cross, agape love. I encourage you to take time to learn more about these loves. So, again, you can experience genuine kingdom love in the body of Christ, in the kingdom of God. And I'm going to share a song with you. These young ladies that wrote this song, Samelia, Lawrence, Ruth, and Gabby and Lena, they wrote this song, and it is He Loves Us. He Loves Us. And they will be coming to join us on the show in the near future. So be looking out for them. They're 14-year-old girls who wrote this song. Thank you. Hallelujah. You've been listening to He Loves Us, and it's through Lord's Digital Recording Studio out of New York, and that is from 14-year-old girls by the name of Ruth, Samelia, Laurencia, Gabby, and Lena. We hope that you enjoyed the show today. You have been listening to Kingdom Empowerment, Inc., Blog Talk Radio Show with the host, Donna Wortham, and co-host, Polias Amiakodia. And we just want to say we love you, and we hope that you will come back again to be in our audience and share with the body of Christ and be empowered and equipped for the kingdom of God.